Hey everybody, it's bonus time again. Here we have the Proctor Foundation, the coachproctorfoundation.org, sharing with us one of their many, many amazing topics that they spoke at their Coaches Roundtable back in December. Last week, we had Miranda Proctor, the Director of Female Strength and Conditioning at Richland Northeast High School, talking about the NCAA and recruiting. This week, we're sharing with you, because of the Proctor's great value and humbleness, they're allowing us to share with you Dustin Allen, the head coach of Cuthbertson High School. He spoke on building a championship culture. Listen to this and then go listen to Dustin's podcast episode that we had in 2023. Just search Dustin Allen's name in the app that you're using today. Enjoy this bonus material. Thank you again to the Proctors.
Track and field world, you are now tuned in to our humble servant, Mike Cunningham, for another extraordinary message on Gill Athletics Connections.
Good dear friend of mine, matter of fact, we connected during COVID when everybody was bored. And everybody was either glad the season was over because they seemed was sorry as hell, or they were crying because they knew they had a state championship team and was never able to put it on the track. So that's how me and Dustin bonded. He knew he had a state championship team that year. I was crying on Twitter about the kids that I thought that could have won. And he was listing the accomplishments, and I'm one of them coaches like, hey, if you got it, I'm coming to get it. I want to know how. And so I called him. And my question was nothing about workouts or anything like that. My question was about the culture at Cuddy. What are y'all doing? How are y'all doing? Why in the world are y'all able to have this many state championships in this few amount of years? And so I believe it's been 13 state championships between indoor, outdoor through 7 years. Cuddy head coach, Dustin Allen.
Appreciate you guys. We're trying to do what we can here with the technology. It's the cord that's going to make this thing go crazy here. So I'm going to try to hold it here for a little bit and see what we can do. But, yeah, as Coach said, obviously I'm the head coach. I'm now the director of track and cross country at Cuthbertson. Our last cross country coach retired at the end of last year, so I kind of took that role, kind of helping the new guy. So 13 state championships, all that great stuff that you see here. All of that's going to be a direct reflection of A, our culture, B, our coaching staff. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today. A little bit story about myself, which most of you are going to find to be pretty crazy, is the fact that I never went to a track and field meet until the first day I was the head track and field coach at Cuthbertson High School. Never threw, never did any of that. I went to airport, and basically when I was there, you did your sport. So I played football. So I never threw. I never did any of that stuff. Never did it in college. The AD at Cuthbertson during the time, track program, not necessarily that they weren't good, but they didn't have any standards, and they had kids. He found kids asleep under the pole vault mats at practice one day and whatever, and he's like, hey, I know you want to be a head football coach one day. You're going to need some experience in order to take that job over, so why don't you take over at the track and field team? And I was like, all right, that sounds easy enough, right? Just go run. All right, not a big deal, which obviously is not the case, but I'm a guy who, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to go all in. And I think one of the huge things that has helped us, and we'll get to that as we move forward here, is I treat Cuthbertson track and field just like everyone else treats football, right? To me, it is just as important as football or as basketball or as any of those big sports that everybody likes to talk about, and those are the ones that matter, right? So I treat it like it matters just as much as those things. And when you do that, I feel like that's where you're going to get the buy-in from kids and stuff. And then, you know, we'll talk about that here as we move forward. Anytime, if you have a question or anything, just raise your hand. And I'll be glad to answer any of those. You click next. Okay. All right, so this slide, just what is culture? Everybody has a different definition of this. And so my big thing coming into this, just trying to think about what you guys would want to know as far as what we did in order to build what we have. Is I just kind of thought about what is culture. So I'm going to give you guys a few minutes, just 30 seconds, 60 seconds, kind of turn to the person next to you and kind of say what you think culture is. And I'll get a couple answers from you guys and kind of explain what I think has made our culture so good.
I would say culture is as a basic general.
Just let the, if everyone talk real quick, and then I'll get you, just so they have a second to talk with peers.
I think it's
going to be what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's getting better.
All right, so I want you guys to talk. What a couple? Who wants to share a couple answers or what they talked about here? Yeah.
It's what you do, how you live.
Okay, what you do, how you live.
I said it's a set of values or principles that everyone follows.
Okay, values, principles, everyone follows.
Maintain a positive or encouraging environment. Always be helpful to the teammate. Don't always just stay down on them.
Okay.
Keep that positive environment.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Something that is established that is always there no matter the athletes are in the play.
Okay, yeah. So it's something that you set up, right? My view of it is culture is going to be something that you set up from the very beginning. Regardless of what kids come in or out of your program, as he just said, that standard is going to be there. They know when they come in, they're coming into something. Okay? There are really good cultures. There are really bad cultures. Right? But the culture is kind of what you accept and kind of what you want it to be, either as the head coach or as the staff or within your individual groups. You can kind of set that up. So here's what we kind of did at Cuthbertson when I first came in. If this thing's going to work. Right. The videos aren't going to work, unfortunately, just because where we're at. But the videos there were just some of our kids kind of talking about our culture and what they learned. This thing's going to kill me. All right, so when I took over, we had 21 athletes on the team. So that very first year, when my AD said, I don't care if you win any matches, I don't care if you win any meets, I don't care if you win a state championship, I don't care if you only have two kids on the team. At some point, you need to do something that establishes this team as being something, right? So as long as kids are coming to practice every day, I don't care how good they are, but I need you to fix what's going on, okay? So we had 21 kids in the program that first year. Today, we have 210 kids in our program. And we'll talk about that and my no-cut policy and stuff here in a little bit. But that's kind of where we are with that as far as that stuff goes and how I'll talk about how we built to that many kids. But that first year when we went to the state championship, we scored 1 point. When we scored that 1 point, I think it was in the 4x8. I mean, we thought we were absolutely amazing. I knew nothing about track and field. So when we qualified kids for states because in North Carolina, you auto-qualify with a time throughout the season. So you hit that time to go to states. I was like, damn, we qualified like 10 kids. I'm amazing. I'm like the best coach ever, right? Because I had no idea. And then we scored a point at the state championship. I'm like, man, this is crazy. Coming from football, you think, you know, you got to go through all the playoffs and do all that just to get there. So I'm thinking, man, we're doing great things. But the biggest thing that we did that year in order to kind of establish it and make sure that that was our takeoff point was we made sure that the kids were having fun, first and foremost, all right? And then number two was we were holding them accountable. Guys, kids want to be held accountable. They want to follow the rules. They want rules to be set for them. And if they break those rules, they want you to come down on them, right, in a certain way. They don't want you to degrade them, but they want you to hold them accountable so that they know that there's some structure in their lives at that point. So we did that, okay? Once again, I'm going to keep going back to it. I treated it like it was football, okay? We have a team meeting before practice every single day. Every single kid is in the stands by 3:20. If you're there at 3:21, you're in trouble. Right? It's 3:20. That's what time you need to be there. We have our team meeting. We go over our expectations, what's going to happen for the week. We might go over our PRs, whatever it might be for that week. Right? We're going to go over that day. And then we're all going to break up and we're going to go down to the track and we're all going to warm up together as a team. Okay, I think a lot of times in track and field, especially with the way that things go, just with training philosophies and different types of training for different groups, is we get away from being a team. Okay, if you're a thrower, yeah, running two laps around the track, that's not going to help you throw. But when you're running those two laps around the track, you're with your team. So the throwers are with the sprinters. The throwers are with, there we go. Throwers are with the high jumpers, right? The distance kids. Yeah, they might need a longer warm-up to get ready, right? But they're not with their team if they go on their own. So when we do our warm-up, we do it all together. If they need a little bit more, when we're done with that team portion warm-up, then they can continue doing what they need to do for their warm-up, right? But we do everything together, all right? So we started with that. We started holding them accountable. Our team rules where if you miss two unexcused, meaning you didn't communicate with a coach of where you were going to be, regardless of where you were, that's unexcused. You get two, you're off the team, all right? That's the only way that I'm going to cut you is basically you get cut yourself. Okay, so some of those things that we established that first year and that first indoor season. When we got to outdoor of the first season, we ended up with 110 kids that came out because they heard, oh, they're doing good things. Oh, it's fun. Oh, this and that, right? So we had 101 kids come out or 110 kids come out after that point. So we went from 21 to 110 like that, okay, within 3 months. So indoor started in November, and then we took that over into February, and we had 101. That first year, we had a really good girls team, and the girls ended up winning the regional championship that year. And I think we finished eighth at state for the girls team that very first year. And that happened because they started to see the change in the program. They started to see the change in expectations. They started to see the change in what was happening. And kids were, you know, word of mouth. Word of mouth is your biggest thing, right? Those kids talking to one another and saying, hey, it's a great environment. It's great to be out there. All of that. So that's how we were able to kind of do that year one. It's kind of established that. Now, leaving out of year one, I'm very confident individual, very competitive. After year one, I was offered jobs at different places to go be the OC at a school. I was offered another one to be offensive line coach, even coming back down into South Carolina, which would make me more money. And I had to turn all those jobs down. People are like, why are you turning those jobs down? Like, you want to be a football coach. Like, you want to do these things. And I was like, yeah, but we're going to win the state championship next year. People are like, what? I was like, just trust me. We're winning indoor. I can guarantee it. And they're like, you're crazy to think that that's going to happen. I'm like, no, just watch and see. And so after that first year, once you start establishing where you want to be, now we made it so that indoor and outdoor track aren't two separate things at Cuthbertson. All right. And I know in South Carolina, you guys don't have indoor, all right, which sucks. Hopefully you guys get that soon. I know you guys are fighting for that. But in North Carolina, we have indoor and outdoor. I don't call them any different. Track is track. All right, and track to us starts in June. All right, we get in that weight room in June, July, August, and that's what we did. So the season ended in May for us. Had very few kids at that time that were going to nationals. So when we hit June 15th and we were allowed to lift, we started lifting June, July, August, right? And we brought that new culture in. We had 40, 50 kids in the weight room, keep building it up into what it is today. So our last slide today, I'm actually going to go over our yearly schedule so you guys can kind of see what we do on a yearly basis each month, what we're kind of working on, and where we're trying to get. Big thing here is how do you get buy-in from the kids and parents? Okay, so I know a lot of you guys want to know that. Like, all right, how do you actually get buy-in? If you care, the kids will care. You've got to prove to them, though, that you care. Right? You can't just say it at practice, yo, you need to work hard, and then you go home and you don't do any extra work or you show up late to practice. How are you going to tell them to be there at 3:20 if you showing up at 3:25? Right? They got to see that you're going to go by the rules. Okay, you got to show them that you care. If they mess up in a race, right? Yeah, you got to coach them hard, but sometimes you just got to put your arm around them, right? You just got to let them know how much you actually care, not only them as an athlete, but them as a person. Check in on them on a daily basis. You know, hey, how's school? Don't just talk about track, all right? There's so much more to these kids than just what they can do on the track. And a lot of times as coaches, we get so focused in on track, 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 or football, 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 or whatever the sport is, and we forget that they're humans, they're people, and they need to be cared about, right? Just the way that we want to be cared about. So if they know that you care, they're going to care that much more. Okay, I feel like a lot of times the kids at Cuthbertson might not be as talented as the kids at the other schools, but they're going to fight that much harder for me, right, and our coaching staff and what we built as a team and that family atmosphere. They're fighting for that more than they are for themselves, all right, which is something you got to build as you're going through. And then number two, how important is this whole thing to you? How important is this whole thing to your staff? Because if it's not that important to you, it's not going to be that important to them. All right, and how do you prove that to them? Well, you prove that to them by showing up every day, by having a plan, by being organized, all right, by going the extra mile. Okay, and I'll talk about some of that stuff too when we get into our social media and our videos and some of the other things that we do there. But really letting them know, like, this is so important to me as an individual. It should be just as important to you because this is your team at the end of the day. Okay, and that's the other thing too, is allowing them to take ownership. Guys, we run our programs, all right? We're the head coaches or we're the sprint coach, whatever it is, and we run our individualized section, or we run the whole team. And of course, like, it's important to us, and yes, it's our program, but it's their team. The team each year is only going to be as good as they want that team to be. Okay? It's not going to be good because we just want it to be good. It's going to be good because they want it to be good. They want to be great, right? We got to instill that in them and build them up as leaders too, in order to kind of take that over. And then how much are you willing to invest? Same thing I was saying earlier. If they're there at 320 and you show up at 325, are you really investing the same amount as they are? Right? How much are you calling college coaches to try to get them recruited? How much are you writing the letters for them to get into college, even if they're not going to be recruited and run? What are you doing? Are you talking to them if they need help? Are you helping them get a job if they want to apply for a job? What are you doing? What are you willing to invest? How much time are you willing to give to them and to the program, right, which kind of gets their buy-in, right, and the parents can see what you're doing for them. So all of that is going to help you at the start, right? The more and more that you can invest into them, the more and more you're going to get out of them. But you've got to be willing to invest in them first. Yeah. All right, so do not cut. All right, this is my philosophy. Obviously, everyone's in a different spot. I'm going to explain why I do what I do, and why we have so many athletes. Pre-COVID, we actually had 265 kids on the roster, but with COVID, kind of drops them out. So we're down to 210. So here's why I don't cut. Okay? If you've been good, we've been good for a while. Okay? So last year, let's just go to last year. Okay? We know we're going to win indoor states, most likely, boys and girls. There's a 90% chance we're going to do that. Right, and then we're going to be pretty good outdoors. Outdoors is always a little harder in North Carolina, just the way you got to qualify to get in. So we know we're going to be pretty good. We're probably going to win a state championship. So if we have tryouts, who are we going to cut? Who do you think we're probably going to cut? We know the older kids what we got, right? Well, the younger, we're about to win a state championship. I can't go with the ones I don't know. So I'm going to cut most of the freshmen. So if I cut most of the freshmen, once you cut, you ain't coming back, especially in this sport. You might try out for basketball again because you like playing basketball, right? You might come try out for football again because you like playing football. Track's different, right? Our sport is every other sport's punishment. Ain't about to just come back out just because, right? So if I cut a freshman, they're never coming back, okay? Usually at Cuthbertson, because we have a pretty good middle school program, we're going to have 80 freshmen come out. Those 80 freshmen are going to turn into 60 sophomores. Those 60 sophomores are going to turn into 50 juniors. And by the end, I think this year, we have 42 seniors. If you have 42 seniors and you believe in your program and you believe what you do, and those 40 seniors are coming through your program, even if it's 20, and you're there for 4 years in our sport, you're going to be good at something. You might not win the state championship. You may not even qualify for states. But I bet you score at conference, right? Or maybe even at regionals, right? You're scoring points for the team. You're helping out. You might be the fourth guy on the relay, whatever it might be. But if you do what we do for 4 years and you're in that weight room for 4 years and you're doing our workouts for 4 years, you're doing all that stuff for 4 years, you're going to be good at something, right? So it goes back to what I said before. What are you willing to invest? You have 210 kids on the team. That means you got two parents per kid, hopefully, right? So now you got 600 plus people that you got to worry about, meaning how organized are your emails? How are you getting these kids into meets? What are you doing to get them in, right? How are you getting them in, right? How are you communicating with everybody effectively? How are you coaching those the A kids that are your varsity that you think is going to win a state championship? And then how are you coaching the C kids that are just freshmen that are developing right now, right? You got to invest time. You got to invest effort. You got to invest all that stuff to have a great plan in order to have that ready to go. And then obviously, if you have a staff of two people, you can't have 200 kids. Right, so we're lucky at Cuthbertson that through the years we've been able to build. Now, when we had 20 kids that first year, we had three coaches. When we went to 120 that first year, we still had three coaches. All right, we went into year two. We had four coaches, right? And then from four, we've built up to what we are now, all right, where we do have nine coaches now, all right? But it's about trying to find the right people and trying to find good people that are going to buy in to what you want to do. So, yes, at Culbertson, we do have a long jump and triple jump coach. That's one individual. We got a high jump coach, which is what I do. We have a pole vault coach. We have a sprints coach, a hurdles coach, a middle distance coach, a distance coach, and a throws coach, right? So as we got better, obviously people wanted to be, you know, a part of it. And you're able to build your staff as you build your athletes as well in order to do that. But I'm never going to cut. If we have 500 kids that come out, I'm going to find a way to let those 500 kids come out. Because also at the end of the day in our sport, if you're trying to win a state championship, it's a numbers game. The more kids I can get into the state meet, the better chance I have of winning the state meet. Especially if you got, like, when we go to indoor, a lot of times we might not even be the better team on the girls' side, but we're going to win. We've won seven straight girls' indoor state titles, right, going for number eight this year. And a lot of times it's because you got to choose. Like, you might have the number two girl in the 500, the 300, but she also has to run the 4x2 and the 4x4, and then we only get four events. She might be good in the 55. So where are you going to put that girl? The second you make your choice on where you're putting that girl, it just moves Culbertson up because we have three girls in the 300, and we'll have another three girls in the 5, and then we can use those girls on the relays, and then we'll be fine right there. We don't have to make decisions when it comes down to the end of the day. Or we have enough kids on our team in the 4x8 that the last few years we've chosen at states, we'll take fourth in the 4x8, no big deal. We don't need to win the 4x8. Instead, I'll save those distance girls for the 1,000, the 16, and maybe the 32, right? So they're getting individual points instead of getting those relay points. But I got enough in the back, right? I got enough that I can just pull them up, and now they can take, instead of getting first, we'll take fourth, right? So I'll drop those 5 points because I know I'm going to get those points back in the individual events. And other teams don't have that because you cut your bench, right? You cut all the kids that could have been in those spots. All right, so it's, for us, it's about finding a way to make sure that we can continue doing that as we move forward. So social media here, I think, is huge for building whatever you're trying to build. And I think we do one of the better jobs with social media around because, once again, we treat it like it's football. So if you're on somebody's football site, they're going to have social media all day. They're going to have videos. They're going to have all this stuff coming out. Well, we do the same thing for track and field at Culbertson, okay? So social media and how we recognize everyone. So we have, like I said, 210 kids. Well, how are you going to recognize kid number 210, right? What are you going to do for that kid, right? And we have ways of doing that. So we have captains, and we do captains meetings every Monday. So I meet with the captains every Monday. So we do leadership stuff, you know, sometimes – I'll get them all a book. We'll all read a book, kind of do book study. I'll talk about leadership, some of the things I do. And we just try to cultivate that leadership and try to make them where they can lead some of the team, right? And then they can bring problems back to me. If they know, hey, coach, there's a group of kids, they're fooling around at practice or whatever that we can't see, then boom, I can take care of that, right? Because they're going to come to me because I've given them that responsibility of being that captain, right? So one other thing that our captains do is after every meet, they get on athletic.net, and athletic.net puts a little PR next to everyone's name that PR'd that meet. And if I'm the sprint captain, I'm going to get all the sprint kids that PR'd, and on Monday at practice, we're going to have our PR meeting. So each captain's going to come up in front of the team. They're going to be like, congratulations, Jeremy East. All right, PR'd in the shot put. Congratulations, Derek LeMay, PR'd in the 55 hurdles. All right, whatever it might be. So your name is getting said in front of the entire team. You're getting recognized. Even if you were dead last in the meet, right? If you're dead last in the meet, no one's going to say nothing about you at the meet, right? But on Monday, because you PR'd, right? And PR'ing is all we want, right? It's not necessarily where you are in the race. It's your individual journey and how you're competing on an individual basis, right? So when that individual PRs, they think, oh, cool, I PR'd today, but nobody noticed because I'm number 210 on the team. Now we noticed, and we're going to call your name out at practice. All right, and that's what those captains are going to do. They're going to look that stuff up. Once again, 210 kids, I've got to send emails, I've got to do entries, I've got to do all this other stuff. I don't have time to look up all that stuff, so I give it to somebody else. Let the kids be involved. Let those kids do that so that we can make sure we recognize everyone. Other thing, I know it's a little bit further down the list, but we have, if you've seen us at meets, We have the chains. We have the big chains. So I got it, obviously, from the U, when the U came out. And they had their turnover chain, right? And then when I was coaching football, we got a turnover belt. And I was like, well, shoot, for track, why don't we get chains? Why don't we do something cool, right? UPR, you get the PR chain, right? Get your picture taken. Get a walk around with the big chain for a minute. All right, ours is a big C. You can see it in this picture right here. All right, so that's our school record chain, all right, that big C. So we got PR chain, school record chain, and then state qualifying chain. All right, so all that. You do something big in a meet, right? We make it a big deal. We get you, we put the chain on you, walk around for a little bit, get your picture taken, run up to mom, let mom take your picture. All right, that's big for those kids. That's so huge, right? And at Cumberton, they're not doing that in the other sports, right? But we're doing it. So now they want to come out even more because, oh, I get to wear this cool chain. We're adults, right? We know, like, who cares about putting a chain on? Those kids? Nah, they want to put that freaking chain around their neck, and they want to rock around and make sure you know about it, too. Right? And they want to keep it on and be like, yo, we need the chain because Susie PR. And they're like, damn it, I got to get my chain on. Right? So we do all that, and that's easy stuff. I mean, these chains cost, like, I think they were like $35. Sent the lady a graphic, she cut it out, and then sent it to us. All right? We've been using the same graphics for like 7 years. Okay, I got a new one with our new logo that's coming next week. But I mean, it's super easy to get that done. Other things, obviously graphics. Okay. You can see some of the graphics here. If you go on any of our social media, you're going to see even more graphics than this, and it's super easy to make these. So I signed up for a thing. It's called Gipper, G-I-P-P-E-R. Gipper is like $250 for the year. All right. It's not that expensive. All right. And it already has this made. All you have to do is have the picture, put it in and change the words. And then what I do at the beginning of the year is I make this one. This was our senior of the day, all right? So I'm trying to get kids recruited. So I make our senior of the day. I just get, for this part, I got Gabby. Gabby, send me three pictures that you like. I upload Gabby's three pictures. I change the name from somebody else to Gabby, and I put in her PRs, post, right? It's easy. I just have to put three pictures in and change her name and change her events. Right? It takes me 60 seconds at the max. Varsity Captain, this one's a little more intricate, but with the new iPhone, it makes it much easier. That's a picture, right, of Thomas. What I was able to do was hold down the little photo, and it makes a sticker. It crops everything out, and so now it looks like I'm some amazing dude that knows how to do all that stuff, which we just found out today. I couldn't plug the computer in. So I don't know all that. I'm not a techie dude, right? But I figured out how to do that, right? Once again, what are you willing to invest? What are you willing to learn? What are you willing to do, right? For me, right, the first one I make takes 20 minutes. But from there, all I got to do, I only got 8 captains, right? I made the whole graphic. I just got to pick 8 pictures and put them in there. So the rest of them, it might take me 30 minutes to do all 8, and it took me 20 minutes to do the first one. Right, but that kid's gonna remember that forever. Mom's gonna print that out and probably put it in some their yearbook or put it in whatever they do or make it a poster or whatever it might be. Okay, signing day things like that too. We made the signing day graphics. I got them printed at UPS. All right, they had the big board look like the board over here, and I was sitting next to them on signing day. All right, and it had I had somebody do the cutout jersey, so it was half Cuthbertson, half NC State, half Cuthbertson, half SC State, whatever it might be. Okay. And usually you got kids in your school that would love to do that for you if you just find them. Go to the class that teaches that type of stuff, the graphics class, right, design class, whatever it might be. Those kids can do that for you in 5 minutes. I pay a kid this year $500 for the year. Yo, can you do all these edits? Oh, I'd love to. No big deal, right? So definitely, if you haven't done this stuff, and you need help, let me know. I can try to help you guys get any of that. But it is a quick, easy way to recognize those kids and what they're doing there. Hype videos. Let's see if this YouTube is going to work today. Can you see me quick?
We say family for a reason, because that's what this is. Always and forever. Cavs on 3, family on 6. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6. Family.
We do have a camera guy now. Alright, so look at the camera. You see it following you? He's up here. That's a random guy, alright? So say hi to the camera later on.
I'm on a call, see you on TV, sunset, don't change ever since we was
on, I dreamed it all. Ever since I was young, they said I won't be nothing. Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard for the house to vacation.
So, obviously, at this point, in the Cuthbertson Arena, all right, we're able to get something that looks like that, okay? We have a guy we pay $5,000 a year, okay? He comes to X amount of meets a year. He makes videos and then makes a, you know, big highlight at the end of the year, okay? We're able to do that now, and I could probably do a whole another hour session on fundraising, all right? We just did a Grinch 5K this morning, raised $15,000, all right? So we could pay for stuff like that. So that's professional, right? So you're probably sitting here like, I can't do that. You see me today, I can't do that either. All right, but there's other ways you can do it. So I'm just going to play like a little minute of this video real quick, because this is easy, and this is like 10 bucks. All right? You just sign up for a month.
You may have to drink this
one. See if it works.
If it'll play. Yeah, you're good.
Oh, there we go. So this is just our senior night video. We just can't pick our fucking head. There's not much time today. All right, so just, I mean, quickly, it's a good video. What I do for our seniors on senior night is I send all the parents an email, say, hey, send me at least three pictures. One of your child in elementary school, one of your child doing a sport in middle school, and then one of senior year track. All right, and I go into, it's called Animoto, all right, and you can sign up for a month. I think it's $10 or $15, right? Make the video real quick, put in some songs, all right, that go with the length, all right, of the pictures that you have in there, and I'll put them three in a row. So I'll do elementary picture, middle school picture, high school picture. Then go to the next kid. Elementary school, middle school, high school. And then at the end, I'll just throw in all the senior year photos, right? Them with their friends, right? Them on the team, on the podium, whatever it might be. Once again, takes me 35 minutes to make that video, but mom, kid, everyone's going to have that video forever, right? And it's on, now we just put it on YouTube and they'll have that forever. And once again, at the end of the month, I just canceled the subscription. So it cost me $15, right? Because it's like $15 a month. So I'll just wait till next year when I remake it and I'll get my new thing there. Other thing that we do, we get everybody bag tags every year. So I order 250 bag tags. All right, every kid on the team has a bag tag. So when they're walking around school, nobody knows that they're on the D team. No one knows that they're number 210, but they got a bag. They got the, oh, you on the track team? Right? Like, that's a cool thing for them to have. All right, and I get those. Another dude I found on Twitter, swag tags. All right, so swag tags on Twitter. You can find him. So basically, he just took, I don't have mine. Do you have yours on yours?
What?
On your bag?
I don't have your bag.
It just takes whatever you want. So we took our logo here. We put that on there, and our team philosophy for this year and our team shirt and everything is team over me, or big team, little me, kind of what we talk about all the time there. And that was kind of put on the swag tag, that design there. And so when your kids get that stuff, you know, it costs $2 for one swag tag. So if you have 100 kids on your team, it's going to cost $200 to get every single person on your team, you know, a bag tag. And they think it's the coolest thing ever, which once again, it's a bag tag. It's not that big of a deal for us as adults, but for them as kids, it is the biggest deal to them, right? And then when they walk around school and they know Cuppington's track's pretty good, oh, you're on the track team? Oh, you got a ring? Oh, you got this? Whatever it might be, right? So now they think they're really cool because now they're on the track team. So now you got kids from the other sports, right, that might not be winning as much, but they know the track team's winning, and they see everybody with the swag bag tags, right? And they got all that. Now you might get that football kid that didn't think they want to do track, because now it's the cool thing to do, right? You post that video on Instagram. We just had one posted this morning, right? Now it's posted on everybody's story, and now all the other kids in the school are seeing those videos, right? Oh, I want to be in the video. They don't even care about being in the track. They just want to be in the damn video, right? But you're going to find some kid that comes out who wants to be in the video that, oh, that kid can hurdle, or oh, that kid can jump, or whatever that might be, right? So all that stuff's very important to kind of build your brand, right? And once that brand is built, that goes right back into the culture of the whole team, right? Or the culture of the school, right? And then obviously, I mean, as you win, winning breeds more success, right? Once you start winning isn't necessarily as hard sometimes. There's a lot of other things that come with it that we could get into in a whole nother session. But, yeah, so that's where we are there. Social media is huge, and recognizing everyone is huge there too. One thing, I didn't make a slide, but I kind of thought about it. There's two things. The other thing with treating this like it's football, I see this a lot of times when I go to meets and I kind of look around at some of the staffs or coaches or stuff, and they had brought it up a little bit earlier, like, why do we always match and look kind of like you look? If you go to a football game and you go on the sideline at the football game, what are you going to see from the coaches? They're going to have the same polo. They're going to have the same pants. They're going to have the same shoes. They're going to have the same hat, right? And then you go to a track meet and you get the same coaches from the same staff, and nobody matches at all. And sometimes you wouldn't even know who's a coach of the team, right? So that's that same type of thing. Like, if you want your thing to be something, then it needs to be something. So you got to find a way for everyone to look uniform. Like, when you come to meet at Cuthbertson, you're going to know who a Cuthbertson coach is, because they're going to be wearing the same stuff, right? And ways that you get that, we could get into with, like I said, another fundraiser meeting. But the way that we get our stuff is, obviously we do have a big team, right? And so those kids have to order certain things. And so when they order the certain things, obviously we get comp stuff from BSN and stuff like that. But you could still do it on a smaller, it doesn't have to be this, right? It doesn't have to be as nice as what we're wearing, but if everyone's wearing the same shirt, right? Shirts could cost $10, but if every coach is wearing it, it's uniform. If you ever come to a meet and watch us warm up, same thing as I was talking about when we warm up for practice, you're going to see every single girl on our team is going to have a blue warm-up jacket, blue warm-up pants. Every guy on our team is going to have a gray warm-up jacket, gray warm-up pants, and the entire team is going to go out there at once. I don't care if you're in the 2 mile and that's all you're in and you don't race for another 8 hours. You're going to show up when we show up. We're going to warm up as a team. We're going to do that stuff as a team, and then we can worry about you resting and doing whatever you need to do, getting off your feet for the 2 mile in a while. Because at the end of the day, if you make it about the team, if you make it about the culture, if you make it about that, when she's ready or he's ready to run that 2 mile later, and that's at the end of the meet, and we need 1 point to win, that's going to be that much more important to them than it would have been if you just let them show up 20 minutes before, warm up, and then go out there and race. Because they weren't a part of the team. They were just themselves, right? They just showed up and ran. All right, so it's big there trying to bring that camaraderie together and kind of, you know, bring all of those stuff, all those things together.
That team aspect, do you also see that when it comes to, like, supporting each other at these state championships, like running over to the Jones Pit,
yep,
and running over to the High Jones Pit, or the Throws Pit,
yep,
too, like,
100%, yep.
On our level, like, we emphasize that, too. Like, I know we be turned up. Because like, that's my teammate, even if he does throw on the 2 miles, so I was like, is it the same?
Exactly, yeah. So that's what that really brings, and that's what I want. So, like, we have rules on our team, too. Like, if we, you know, we're taking a bus last Tuesday to Weddington, right? I don't care if you're in the 55. You're not leaving. I don't care if your mom's signing you out. Your mom's not signing you out. If you're taking the bus to the meet, you're taking the bus home from the meet. Because it's not fair that everybody's there to cheer the 55 on, but nobody's there to cheer on the 4x4. We're supposed to sign race anyways. Why would you not want to stay? Right? But we all, when the 4x4 is done, then we're getting our stuff, then we'll go get on the buses. But you are taking the bus to the meet, and you are taking the bus home from the meet. No, mama's not signing you out. Unless mama's calling me and telling me, like, you have to be at church because it's Wednesday or whatever it might be, right? We can deal with that. But no, it is a team. We are going together. We are coming home together. Same thing. That bus, leaving at 2:20. When my watch says 2:20, we rolled out. There were three kids in the bathroom as I left.
We left two kids at the school.
They left.
Now, we've left people before, too. Yep. Conference championships, matter of fact. They running after the bus.
It is what it is. You're going to leave. Same thing, guys. I know I'm getting a little off topic from this, but it's fine. You got to be willing, too, as the head coach, to say goodbye. No kid, no parent's going to run my program. If you want to tell me what you're going to run, cool. I've done it before. Here's a card. This is Charlotte Flights. Call them. All right, Charlotte Flights is an amazing program. I'm not talking negatively at all, but when you go to Charlotte Flights, you can kind of, you're paying, so you can more do what you need to do or what you want to do, right? Not with me. If I want you, if you run the 800 and you're state champion of the 800 and I think you can throw a shot put and I put you in a shot put, you can go and throw the shot put, right? Or you can find somewhere else. Now, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to actually make them do that, right? But if that's what I needed, if she's a big, strong girl, could do it. Yeah, we're going to do what the team needs to do. All right, it's about Cuthbertson. It's not about you, which is why this year's big focus is that team over me, because I felt like the last couple of years, with a lot of things going on, I had twin boys born 2 years ago. They had lots of problems, so I was in and out of the NICU and stuff, and I wasn't around as much, so things kind of got away from some of the things I'm talking about. So we kind of had to bring that back into play here. But you've got to be willing to do that, even if it's your best kid. I mean, my first year, and she's one of the best kids ever. She was texting me earlier this morning, actually, and she went to NC State and ran and did all that. But my first year, she wasn't quite sure what was going to happen with the track team, right? So that first indoor season, she ran on her own. We went to the Charlotte City Championship, and Sarah Latour beat our team by herself, and she goes to Cuthbertson, right? We scored like 18. She scored 30. She won the 1,000, 16, and 32 by herself. So she beat us by herself, but she went on our team, right? And you know, I wasn't going to go knock on her door and be like, can you please come out? No, if she didn't want to be on the team, she didn't want to be on the team. But she came for outdoor, loved it. Big reason why we won the regional championship. The biggest reason we won the first two state championships. She scored 30-plus points indoor and outdoor that year. She's a state MVP 2 years in a row. Was absolutely amazing. Ran NC State, you know, when they started building that thing up. So did an absolutely amazing job. But at the same time, if she didn't want to be there that first year, I wasn't going to go chase her and try to get her just so we could – win, right? And sometimes it's not about winning, it's about setting you up for the future winning. All right, if you sell your soul to win right now, you might not win in 5 years, right? Because you might lose some of what you need. So definitely there. And then the other thing I didn't put on here is just when you have your team philosophy, whatever that is, so like this year it's that team over me mentality, right? Well, what does that mean? You got to explain that to the kids. I know coaches, trust the process. We used to be trust the process, right? That's our hashtag. Are you just hashtagging because you want a hashtag, right? Are you just, does it make social media look cool, or does that mean something to your team? Like, what is trust the, what does that mean? Like, if you just say trust the process, like, okay, cool, yeah, the 76ers said that too. They ain't win nothing, right? But what is that about? Like, what are you trying to do? What does that mean to you? Trust the process, right? My big thing for the last 4 or 5 years has been win the day, Okay, well, I can say win the day, and yeah, you all know what that means, but what does it really mean? So you got to explain that to our kids, right? I tell them at the beginning of the year, what does win the day mean? Win the day does not mean come out here and have a great practice every day. Win the day means wake up on time. Win the day means get a good breakfast. Win the day means do what you need to do in school. Win the day means get a good lunch. Win the day means drink enough water throughout the day. Win the day means then come out here and have a good workout. Win the day means once you leave here, make sure within the first 30 minutes you're getting something back in your system. You have a good dinner. You get to sleep before 10 o'clock, so you get a good night's sleep. That's the day. Track practice is only 2 hours of that day. So when I say win the day, I'm talking about the full day. But those kids don't know that. They just think, oh, that means come to practice and do good. No, it's the whole day. It's your whole life, right? Everything is about winning that day. Not only does that set them up for success at track, but it's going to set them up for success in life. I don't have the graphics on here. Should have put it on there. But even, and we'll have it made for when we get back. So for indoor, when we get back from Christmas break, we give them a calendar. And the calendar has every single day from January 2nd when we get back until February 9th when the state championship is here. And each block is a day. So January 2nd, January 3rd, all the way to February 9th. And on each day it says, it has our win the day logo, and you circle W or L. So you have to put that on your mirror at home, and you got to decide at the end of the day, did you win or did you lose? And I tell them, if you win 75% of the days between now and then, I guarantee you'll win on February 9th. And you might not win the state championship, but you'll win for yourself. You'll win, you know, we'll do great things on that day. And then I print it out, big poster, and I hang it outside my office. And after practice, I go back up to my office and I circle, did we win or did we lose as a team today? So you have your own individual win or loss day. And then how did we do it as a team on that day? So when you're putting that stuff out, like the win the day for us is not just a hashtag that we put at the bottom of that graphic. Win the day for us is something that we actually live by and try to do on a daily basis. So whatever you want to do, whatever your goal is for your season or whatever, and it changes from time to time, it could be a section of the season. Whatever your goal is, put it out there, but make sure that they know what that means too. So it's not just a thing. Get the next one. All right, and then the last slide here, and then I'll see if those videos will work so you can kind of hear from the kids and what they think about our culture. It's kind of our yearly schedule. So everything that we do, and it's not broken down necessarily into each event group, and it's not broken down necessarily into what workouts we're doing on those days, but it's broken up into kind of what we're looking at. So I'll just kind of start, I don't know if it's at the bottom, but I'll start in June. All right, so in June, in the middle of June, our A team is hopefully going to nationals. So they're in Philly, right? So they're going up to Philly trying to win a couple national titles, something like that. So they're competing right there. So at the beginning of June for them, is still trying to get ready to go, trying to get ready for that nationals, right? That B group or C group and all the incoming freshmen, they're still resting, right? When we get to graduation, usually around June 12th, that's when we start our B team and rising freshmen. Now we're in the weight room, okay? So every single one, I meet with the eighth graders and their parents the week after the state championship, so they know what's expected of them moving forward once we get into June. So they're in the weight room. What does our weight room look like in the summer? So for June, July, and August, on Monday, we hit weights. Whatever that is, usually full body stuff, right? I don't need to get into all that. You guys are smart enough to figure that out. Tuesday, we do plyo. Okay, so it's all plyometric stuff, right? We'll do a little bit of running in there, right? A little run form, but mainly plyometric stuff. Wednesday, another lift. Then Thursday, full team yoga, all right? Biggest thing, the easiest thing to do is a lot of those Thursdays, I'll go click play on P90X yoga. Because they think yoga is easy, and it's not. And P90X yoga is great, right? So that's all, literally, at practice, I'll walk in, I'll click play. You don't got to make it rocket science, right? You can use all the tools you got. That's the easiest day ever. Click play, and then leave, walk back in. You'll see, they're killing it in that, right? So we do that June, July, August. That's our schedule, okay? School starts at the end of August for us. I don't know for you guys, it's a little earlier. When we get back to school, that first week of September, we start our true off-season conditioning at that point. So on Tuesdays, we'll do 1 hour of running. All right, so we'll get our warm-up in. We'll get a good run in. It's mainly just conditioning at that point. Then we'll come up. We'll get our one-hour lift. On Wednesday, we work on fundamentals. So a lot of people that I talk to in track and field, they don't really have time that they really work on the fundamentals of the sport. Like if you go to basketball, they're working on dribbling the ball, right? You go to football, they're working on catching, right? They're working on these little things. With track, sometimes we're more worried about the workouts instead of worrying about some of the little things that go with the sport. So every Wednesday we have 2 hours where one day we might be working on blocks. Whole team, everybody's there, everyone's working on blocks, right, if you're a sprinter. Okay, obviously distance at this point, they're running cross country. Okay, so they're doing their thing distance-wise. But we'll work on blocks with everyone that wants to sprint. If you're someone that wants to do long jump, well, this is your time in the off season before you get to the season. Now, once again, we have indoors, so you guys might look different in South Carolina. But if you want to try long jump or we think a kid might be able to long jump, well, why are we going to wait until November to see if they can long jump and waste time, right, when they might not be a long jumper, where they could be sprinting or doing something else? We can figure out if they can jump here. Whether that be long, triple, high, pole vault, shot put, whatever it is, we're going to work on all the fundamentals of the sport on Wednesdays, all right, for those 2 months. So you roughly get 8 or 9 Wednesdays where you can just really break down. One day might just be all run form. We don't actually run. We just work on our mechanics, right, our run form, our handoffs. Sometimes we forget these kids have never run track. They don't even know where the relay zones are. So we walk the track and go to every relay zone, and we talk about every relay zone and what does it mean, right? What is this to this? And what is a triangle, right? And what is a 30-meter exchange zone? And back in the day, what was the acceleration zone? And all that stuff. So they actually know, right? Most of these kids are not watching track and field. They're not studying it. They don't know when we tell them to do that stuff. So we make sure we do that. And then Thursday, another conditioning lift and then another hour lift. And then sometimes, especially our jumps coach, he's like, well, I need to get them on Saturday so they can come. I'm like, guys, if we work them out Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday in September and October, and then we get to November, which is the actual season, and now we have the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then there's meets on Saturdays, you're killing. They're never going to want to. No, 3 days right here in this part is enough. Give those kids Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right? And the middle of their week is their work. They still need time to be kids. Right, so also in the off season, we want to get a lot of work in, but we also don't want to burn them out, right, before we get into our actual season. So November is the start of indoor for us. So at the beginning, we're working on conditioning, and then start of our meet prep. We use our first two meets. I always host our first two polar bear meets. And the reason I host, this goes kind of into our big team. If I host, then everyone can run. So all 210 kids get to run because I'm hosting the meet. So I can make whatever rules I want, right? So they all get the opportunity. So they get two opportunities to start the season. They get to run. So we can kind of see where we're at, what kind of talent they might have. Like, we've been very surprised with some of the freshmen that in September, October, I'm like, oh, we don't have any freshmen. So I don't know. This is going to be rough trying to build this thing. And then now we got into November, and I'm like, oh, shoot. There's a couple of them that they got some pretty good talent, right? So that's it, November. Then we get into December, which is where we are now. First big meet of the year is we always go to Liberty. That's where we just were last week. When you go to Liberty, it costs a lot to do this. But every kid on our team that wants to go to Liberty, I will pay their entry fee. So last week when we went to Liberty, we took 110 kids to Liberty. However, we do not drive them to Liberty. Their parents are going to take them. So it's up to you and their parents. If you want your kid to have this opportunity to go up there, you will make it happen for your kid. All right, if you don't, then you don't. That's on you and your family. That's up to you guys. But we're going to give you that opportunity to do that. So we did that last week. We had 110 kids. First time for a lot of those young kids in an indoor facility. Obviously, it's a really nice facility, right? Kind of give them that. So now our A-team kids, from here until the beginning of January, we're going to Virginia Showcase. Now it's a good training. We got 4 or 5 weeks here that they're just training. There's no meets for them. But on Tuesday, we took our C-team kids over to Weddington for a dual meet. And then today, the rest of those BC kids, right, or those fringe kids, they're competing in an invitational polar bear over at Metro Lina. So that's kind of how we get everybody kind of involved there. And then the next 2 weeks, Christmas, we're just going to train through. January, all right, the middle of the month, that's Virginia Showcase. All right, the 12th and 13th for us. Once again, though, at the Virginia Showcase, as you become a better program and a bigger program, you have the funds that you can do this. Once again, if you want to take your kid to Virginia Beach, we will put them in the meet. So if all 210 kids want to go, I'll just pay for it. But I'm only paying their entries. I'm not paying for their hotels and the bus and all that. You got to get your kid up to Virginia Beach. All right? So if they want to go, we'll enter all of them. But our A-team kids, this is their time to shine when we get here. Okay? So That's going to be big for them. And then our conference, they love to schedule the conference championship the Tuesday after Virginia Showcase. My opinion, it's because none of them go to Virginia Showcase, so they want to try to make sure we're tired on Tuesday. It's fine. All right, so on Tuesday, we'll go do what we got to do at conference championship. And then after that point, they're going to have another 3 or 4 weeks to kind of plan as we go into the state championship on February 9th. All right, they'll probably run one more time, just to, especially the sprinters. Distance kids, maybe not. But the sprinters, the relays, we'll get them one more run just before, just to make sure that we're good. And then the B team, C team kids that won't run at states, that don't qualify, they'll have a home meet on January 31st. And then they're going to take a little bit of a break. So February, championship season for A team. We'll do some active recovery for the B team. And then outdoor, which is the craziest thing in our sport, if we win a state championship on the 9th, on the 12th we have practice. So we'll go straight in outdoor and kind of keep going. And then obviously March, April, and May is kind of the normal for everybody. All right, A team in March, we're preparing for the Nationals in Boston. The B team's preparing for outdoor season at that point. Obviously, we host the Clash of the Carolinas. If no one comes, come on out next year. So that's a big invitational there. And then at the end of there, then we come down to Ridgeview. In the beginning of April, go over here to Spring Valley. I always say Sun Valley now. And then we start training for, at the end of the month is really that more of a long training period there before we get to May, which is conference, regional, states. And then you're going to have, after states, you're going to have about 4 more weeks to get back to June. And then we just keep rotating this thing through. And it hasn't really stopped. It's been the schedule that we've had for the past 8 years. So where we are, I think I have 2 minutes because I got the clock breakdown back here.
Can you email this presentation?
Right.
I cannot email it. That's the problem. I tried to email it. Take the videos
we'll
out of it,
the videos
it
out.
I think I can email it. All right,
thank you.
Yep. Anybody else?
Just from a training standpoint, like as far as an athlete, how well do you like have that open communication as far as like if they're feeling well or not when it comes to the training aspect? Because I know training year round at the college level and at the high school level may be different because their body's a little bit different than it is.
So it's a constant communication, not necessarily with me. Okay. It's more of a conversation with their individualized coach. So if I'm coming to practice on Monday, and we kind of know, like, we have a kid. Like, if he runs 3 events on Saturday, he ain't going to be ready to run until, like, Wednesday. Right, I call him Megatron. Megatron didn't ever practice during the week, but at the end, you know, on Sunday, he'd be there, right? So we just wait for him to be ready to go. But, yeah, just kind of trying to get that through. And that's more talking to their individualized person, whoever the sprint coach is for that period. I always tell everyone, if you're an AD or anything and you want to hire me to be your track coach, just know I don't really know a whole lot about actual track. I know how to coach the high jump and the pole vault. But as far as, like, training a sprinter to sprint fast, I'm not your guy. Right? I'm good at running the program. I'd never be a good assistant coach. Yeah.
All right. So without cutting people, about 20, how do you split between teams, A team, B team, C team?
It's all first meet. So we get to that. We don't do time trials. We do it at meet. So that first meet, because I always host, and we'll know from there because times don't lie, right? So we kind of figure out where you are from there. And then we try to do, like, when we were at Liberty last week, we had an A team 4x2, a B team 4x2, a C team 4x2, and I think a D team 4x2. So everybody got to run at least get 200 splits since we run the 300 and 500. So we could try to figure that out too.
I know you didn't go into specifics, and I don't want to ask you for your whole program, but you said as far as exercise and weightlifting, how important do you see clean and jerks, deadlifts, and squats?
So squats, we only front squat. I feel like it's better for them, especially the girls, just with the way that you can hold the weight and also less weight is going on that bar for them. And to me, it feels like it's a whole body. We don't clean and jerk much. We will do the deadlifts without much weight, and we'll just explode up with them instead of the full motion. Just because with a team as big as us, it's very hard to teach everything you need to teach in order to do that safely. But yes, I mean, that is explosive stuff that we really want them to do. But we just try to find different ways to do that instead of the full hang clean and stuff like that. And we're never jerk at all.
Okay.
Above the head.
Are you using a trap or are you using a straight bar?
Trap bar deadlifts, yeah, when we do deadlifts. So we'll do trap bars and then we'll put way less weight and have them do the deadlift motion but explode up and jump and make sure their shoulders and everything coming up. So you're basically doing everything but actually finishing the clean there. Just, it's so hard to teach and our weight room is very, very small.
And can you tell me what other exercises you do to strengthen the lower back?
Yeah, I can actually send you. We have the whole. I have the whole plan on Google Drive, so I can just share it.
Coach, we got to go in. We're gonna go in there during the roundtable discussion. Y'all, want to give Coach another round of applause again? I think he will. He will be here for when we get to the roundtable discussion. So if you have any more questions, definitely go in there.
The goals to appreciate the coach, the ones who point people most. Every season needs a voice of reason, speaking the growth. Got a bat for you, carry the load. It's coffee to the soul for those of us who stay on the go. Pop a handoff to stay in the zone. What you packing for the road? There's more than one way to the goal. Take notes, that's paying your toll. It ain't practice if your purpose ain't clear. It can't happen till you listen with both ears. Can't mentor without a mentor's years of experience, you can reinvent those years. Every plan's got a standard to live up to. And the price sacrifice, can you give up you? It's a choice and a fight, not a win or lose. It's not a ploy, but advice so y'all can make more moves. It's not about how to, it's all about why. You don't know till you know who you are inside. 6 million ways to tie, choose none. So we all cross the finish line, the work ain't done. So we learn from the experts, we all gotta put in the legwork. Guild Athletics is a network, it's all about connections. Put together for the profession, so every track coach could be a blessing.